The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
And of course, if that doesn't work, guess what? We're going to very shortly be portrayed on TalkStreamLive.com. We're there, but on another channel mistakenly, but we're going to have our own channel here. They're going to be putting up a slate here pretty soon. Tom and Bill and everybody over there at TalkStream Live is doing a wonderful job, and we appreciate you more than you know. Welcome to Wednesday's Hump Edition, the hump day of the Krieger Files. And, of course, if you need a document notarized fast, we have an online notary that can notarize your documents in all 50 states. Her name is Erin Fussell, and she has a website, ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. And Erin will take care of you right there over the internet or your cell phone, whichever. You can call or text her at 941-400-8282. That's 941-400-8282. That's easy enough to remember. And of course, if you forget, you can go to thekriegerfiles.com and click on the shop link and access Erin through the shop. Works that well for those of you that need notarization fast. Now, why would you need that? Well, it's possible because of the idea that we might have to be selling our home, because you just never know what's going to go on here. U.S. home sales are poised for the worst year since 1995 as lock-in effect persists, according to economists and whatnot. The homeowners are tied to what these economists say are golden handcuffs. Gee, well, there's a new kind of bondage for you. Golden handcuffs. Wow. No, that's the handcuffs of people that got those 2.66% interest rates, and they don't want to let go of them. Because right now, the mortgage lock-in effect, which is created by that, this average 30-year fixed rate, this all happened during the coronavirus pandemic. See, the time to move was then, but now is not such a good time. Why? Because we're coming up to an election, and the Fed is playing political games, of course, even though they say they're not. We all know the truth. More than half of all outstanding mortgages out there had an interest rate below 4%, and about three-fourths had a rate of 5% or lower. And that's why we have this problem, because Freddie Mac now, where are we at? 6.54%. Who wants to pay 6.5% for a mortgage? Raise your hand. I didn't think so. And now you've got, of course, the reports on consumer confidence. This is a lie. Consumer confidence surges ahead of the election. You see how they're playing you? This is mainstream media, of course. And the Epoch Times, why you had to run this story, I don't know. I'm going to have to start taking issue with these people, even though they claim to be the most legitimate, most truthful. Why do you keep regurgitating what the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index says? Why don't you analyze that and come up with your own? I mean, you're talking about the labor market improved. That's not what everybody is seeing out there. There's a lot of people flat out don't want to work. And how can you have consumer confidence up when, like many chain restaurants, the spot where your entire high school would get dinner before going to the movies on a Friday night is having a tough go of it? How could you have consumer confidence when TGI Fridays has abruptly closed 50 locations this week? Yeah, they're getting ready to weigh in on bankruptcy right now. Friday's had 270 locations in the U.S. at the beginning of the year, but it's down to 164 today. Why is that? Well, people aren't wanting to go out to eat as much. Why? Because consumer confidence is low. These people at this confidence board are all full of the proverbial caca. They do not understand the consumer mindset. Now, if you're rich and you don't care and you can throw your money away, you got plenty of money to burn, fine. But the average American out there doesn't have it. And that's why you got Red Lobster, Buca di Beppo, and other formerly popular casual dining chains going into Chapter 11. Because consumers are shifting their spending habits to save money. So nuts to this garbage about consumer confidence. That is a lie. About as much of a lie as the CDC now coming out showing that COVID-19 cases are near an all-time low. And what does the agency recommend? Well, of course, a new jab. Get another vaccine. That's, they're still calling it a vaccine, despite the fact that everybody's figured it out. It's gene therapy, folks. And I'm not talking about putting on a pair of Levi's 501s and strutting down the street. I'm talking about taking a jab that's got mRNA, graphene oxide, and all sorts of other crap in it that will make you sick, kill your immune system, and that will end in an early death. Is that what you want? You should not be listening to the CDC. These people are full of horse manure. Wow. I mean, it's about as bad as chlamydia and tampon Tim. I mean, you want to talk about a whole new case of toxic shock syndrome? It's going to affect America on the whole. I mean, now you've got Putin overseeing Russian nuclear forces drills amid growing international tensions. That's right. It happened yesterday. There is some concerns that Putin's going to escalate the Russia-Ukraine war. And if chlamydia and tampon Tim get into office, you're going to have just that. So here we have all of these nuclear training drills, which included ballistic and cruise missile test launches, including from submarines. Oh, yeah. And you know what? That takes me back to a movie clip that I'm going to play for you right now that, boy, it's like, how did Hollywood know all of this stuff? Here's what the clip sounds like.
Once more, we play our dangerous game. A game of chess against our old adversary, the American Navy.
For 40 years, your fathers before you and your older brothers played this game and played it well. But today, the game is different. We have the advantage.
Now, it reminds me of the heady days of Sputnik and Yuri Gagarin, when the world trembled at the sound of our rockets. Well, they will tremble again at the sound of our silence. Comrades, our own fleet doesn't know our full potential.
They will do everything possible to test us, but they will only test their own embarrassment. We will leave our fleet behind.
We will pass through the American patrols, past their sonar nets, and lay off their largest city and listen to their rock and roll while we conduct missile drills.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing yesterday, launching missile drills out of their intercontinental ballistic submarines. Did you know? Or do you care? You see, now, the more you push Putin's button, what do you think's going to happen? The more we give money to Zelensky, what do you think's going to happen? The more that we give him weapons, long-range weapons, you want to know what happens with these long-range weapons when they start penetrating Moscow and what Putin's going to do? I mean, he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on, folks. He's also got his finger on the button, and he's just waiting for an excuse. So if you want to see war and potential World War III, let status quo reign. You just keep things going the way they are, and you must love paying high grocery prices. And you sit at home, and you bitch and complain about every little thing, about how bad the economy is. Yet when we say, hey, would you please go out and vote for a better candidate? You don't want to. Ah, there's no good candidate out there. You whine and complain. Look, if you want things to go back the way they were 4 years ago, before the start of another Obama regime, you will do the right thing. I mean, if you're a registered voter, this is when you have to go and early vote if you have the opportunity. Forget this mail-in ballot garbage. They're too easily penetrated. I mean, you saw what they did. The news just reported about burned ballot boxes up in Clark County, Washington. That would be Vancouver, for those of you who don't know your geography very well. Clark County touches the state of Oregon, right? Just so you know, you can go look it up. So now, the new rule by the Biden administration is now saying that all the airlines, as of this week, U.S. airlines are now required to issue automatic refunds for a canceled or changed flight. Well, what do you think that's going to do to the cost of flying? I mean, it may be a big deal for folks who are going to be flying to visit loved ones this holiday season, but can you imagine the prices of the tickets now? I mean, here we have jet fuel. That can't be cheap, given gas prices the way they are. What do you think the airlines are going to do? Well, of course, they're businesses. They're corporations. They're going to pass the cost on to you, the consumer. Oh, yeah, but the conference board says consumer confidence is up. Really? Oh, my. Yeah, we'll be back after the break to talk about frothing, arresting of looters, and death by subway. I'll bet you can't wait to hear what that sounds like. Be right back.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, here we are in this hump day edition, 18 minutes after the hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And, of course, we focus on everything that's legal, financial, and consumer-related as far as the news goes. Yep, during the break, you may have heard that commercial about all these wonderful illegal immigrants, or rather immigrants, that have moved to this country to make a success. Because, see, we are the land of the free, home of the slave, and all of these people out there that think they're well off are going to find themselves soon shortchanged because they don't have gold and silver, which is one of the reasons Fred Dyshevsky from U.S. Coin Capital sponsors our show. Police in Pinellas County, Florida have arrested over 40 illegal immigrants this month following a looting spree targeting what? Hurricane victims in need of property repairs. Oh, yeah. They came to America from Mexico, Cuba, Colombia, Honduras, Venezuela, and other countries, and they're being charged with armed robbery, burglary, loitering and prowling, grand theft, vandalism, and trespassing. And, of course, this is not the first story of its kind. Tennessee authorities arrested 80 illegals on looting charges earlier this month, probably all having to do with, you guessed it, Hurricane Helene. Wow. And, of course, now, you wonder why the price of everything goes up. There's a new audit out. See, Boeing has got a lot of problems right now, not only with the strike, but having to lay off and close down one whole division. But a new Defense Department audit done by the Air Force, they were allegedly charged, and I'm talking about the U.S. government, the Air Force was allegedly charged a nearly 8,000% markup on soap dispensers for C-17 aircraft. Oh, yeah, the Boeing C-17 Globemaster III aircraft. Yep, they awarded Boeing a 10-year, $11.8 billion contract in 2011. Integrated sustainment program followed by a $23.8 billion contract in 2021 to continue C-17 support through 2031. And now it's found out that they've added nearly $1 million in potentially avoidable costs over the last several years, including basic soap dispensers. Now, this is a private company making all this money on a government contract. And if they cancel the government contract, on what grounds could they cancel it? Maybe fraud. Oh, yeah. Maybe fraud. And see, you wonder about JP Morgan Chase. What's Chase Bank been up to lately? They've just filed suit against four customers over an alleged fake check fraud scheme. You won't hear that about on mainstream media. Oh, yeah, four customers have been accused of bank fraud linked to large unauthorized withdrawals, this so-called infinite money glitch, as it became known on the social media platform TikTok. Oh, you got to know it's TikTok that's promoting this. And TikTok instructed users, now this is the Chinese CCP that runs this through ByteDance, right? TikTok instructed users to write large checks to themselves and attempt to immediately withdraw all or part of the cash from their ATMs. The lawsuits don't specifically mention TikTok or the money glitch, but the withdrawals referenced occurred at the end of August when the videos were trending. According to the bank's complaints, each defendant deposited fraudulent checks and then swiftly withdrew significant amounts of money before the transactions were flagged as counterfeit, leaving Chase with substantial losses. gee, a majority of the time, the U.S. government would send the DOJ out after these people, and they would indict them for bank fraud and mail fraud and wire fraud or whatever kind of fraud they want to throw at them. Yep. Timipa Ikemi is one of them. This is a Texas resident that Chase filed a complaint against. A masked man deposited a $335,000 check into Ikemi's Chase account through an ATM. The complaint states that after the deposit, Ikemi initiated a series of withdrawals, including a $100,000 wire transfer and a $150,000 cashier's check purchase, ultimately withdrawing or transferring at least $320,000 of the $335,000 from the account. On September 4th, of course, the check was rejected and returned as counterfeit, leaving a negative balance in Chase's banking system of $290,939.47. All because everybody wants to take the dare. You see, they play on social media. It's all about social acceptance, especially if you're a teenager. A 13-year-old girl died late Sunday while subway surfing. Or where do you think they got that? Think about it. They're on social media. They're going to videotape themselves because they got to have lots of likes. They got to be out there on social media because that's what it's all about. Their whole life is just enveloped in social media. Their whole life surrounds acceptance because they can't get it at home, obviously. So here's a 13-year-old girl, and they decide to go subway surfing with her 12-year-old friend. And the 13-year-old fell to her death immediately upon the train stoppage, while her friend suffered a head trauma that led to bleeding in the brain, and she's in critical condition. Of course, the mayor, Eric Adams, has to come out and issue a reactionary statement. It's never proactive, always reactive. On X, of course, urging New Yorkers to stop participating in dangerous trends like subway surfing in pursuit of social media clout and pressuring social media companies to do their part to discourage reckless and life-threatening online behavior. Well, what do you think TikTok did with Chase Bank telling everybody to deposit bogus checks? These people could end up in prison. It doesn't matter how much of their money they got out of the system, because their money's all fiat. Don't you understand that? Why would somebody go to a bank and rob a bank of fiat currency? Well, because I guess the rest of America thinks that's wonderful, that they can just live with that. Amazing how that works, isn't it? The New York Police Department has reportedly tallied over 65 subway surfing cases in the last 18 months. Parents, hello? What aren't you telling your children? Are you even monitoring what your children are watching on social media or not? Or do you care? And then what are you going to sit there, whine and boo-hoo and play the victim because your kid did something stupid and got on top of a subway car, which then hit an overpass and your kid just, you know, I'm surprised they didn't get decapitated. These trains go pretty fast. Have you ever ridden on one? I've ridden on a subway in New York. I know what they feel like. And I know when they stop, man, they're going to throw people off. Especially if you're riding on top. That's not where people belong. They belong in the car, providing you can stay safe. And to show you the kind of rhetoric that is going on with this election. And, you know, it's amazing that the Democrats would do what they're doing. There are some Republicans that are doing it, but the Democrats are famous for pointing fingers at Republicans and calling them all sorts of dirty names that mean nothing. And the sticks and stones thing apparently doesn't sink in, because see, if somebody called me a fascist, I'd start laughing. And I would attribute the comment based on their stupidity. And they are not worth, I mean, you've seen these YouTube videos about the elderly lady that comes up to the door and rings the doorbell and starts chewing on the homeowner through the Ring doorbell camera. And, you know, cursing with all sorts of F expletives. I mean, an elderly lady, why did you vote for Trump? Why did you vote for that man? That man is awful. That man is evil. That man. You know. And then the neighbors start screaming all the way down the driveway, all the way down the sidewalk, screaming at the at the Ring doorbell cam. And of course, the homeowner came out and said, have a nice day. And then she turned around and gave her the old middle finger, verbally and physically. You see, this is what our government has done. Creating divisiveness during the lockdown, which we know as COVID, and people still have not woken up to the fact that our government is behind all this. I have told you constantly that we've got a situation with government think tanks and focus groups coming up with a 35% chance that we can take and turn family member against family member, neighbor against neighbor, where they'll rat each other out and cause all sorts of civil unrest. And then they continue to play on that. Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, she is the little dingbat, she spread disinformation on CNN Monday, baselessly claiming that Donald Trump wants to start internment camps when he re-enters the presidency. She said that Trump has talked internment camps and that she may have to be visited in one. Really? CNN host Jake Tapper, of course, visibly shaken, taken aback by the congresswoman's assertion, asking the congresswoman to clarify what she meant multiple times before ending the mind-numbing interview. See, only on CNN, which has a very limited amount of audience, and what does the mainstream media do? They pick up on it and they run it. Yeah. Where do you think that came off of? Well, you know, the old democracy panderer himself. Oh, yeah. You know who I'm talking about? Tucker Carlson. That's who. It came off his website. It came off his news brief. They are magpieing and repeating everything the Democrats are saying, just like these newscasts that give Harris every kind of platform in the name of news fairness. Look, if somebody's talking word salad and talking stupid, do you really think that they should be afforded airtime? Seriously. Oh, America's news media's got a real problem. It's called, let's create some news. Let's go out and follow one of these politicians on the campaign trail so we can hear them all sit there and cuss the other side and call them fascists and Nazis and deplorables and God knows what else. Oh, let's make us all feel better. How, you know, and then of course their crowd cheers. And, you know, pretty soon the rhetoric is going to turn into, hey, let's go out and kill off some of these deplorables. Yeah, I mean, if Biden signed a law into effect or a rule into effect that basically says that American troops can go out and shoot American citizens on U.S. soil, I mean, if he's going to go that far, what's to stop these politicians from taking it one step further and telling neighbor to turn on neighbor and just shoot them? What's to stop it? These people are whacked out, man. You want to keep voting them into office? Really? There is no sanity in America if we're going to keep with this behavior, folks. Got some more business news. A little commentary about what's going on in the swing states and whatnot after these words. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, back from the break here with some business news, and we're going to get into the elections and all sorts of other stuff because, after all, I mean, tis the season, right? Not to be jolly. Obviously, that comes later. See, that the merchants of the earth got this all figured out. Yep. Next month, when the elections start, we're only one day away, by the way. Today would traditionally be called Cabbage Night. This is the night when people go out and wreak havoc on people's backyards and soap windows and throw toilet paper in the trees so that the following night, Halloween night, they can come out and demand candy from the neighbors. After they've destroyed their house or, you know, created all sorts of havoc in the front yard. Yeah. Trampling through their bushes and their flower beds, tearing up stuff. Yeah, that's what we used to call cabbage night. You think parents, see, in Texas, they have family laws on the books that parents, once the kid gets caught with toilet paper, the parents can be charged $3,000 per roll of toilet paper expended in the neighbor's tree. So that means if your kid goes out and throws four rolls of toilet paper in the neighbor's tree as part of a gang that wants to TP somebody's front yard, the parents are going to be charged $12,000. And you dare not take it out of your child's hide lest they accuse you of child abuse. I would think that parents should probably keep an eye on their kids, especially this evening, if they really care about liability being assessed. I mean, already we have kids going out shooting up schools, and now they're charging parents with their misbehavior by failing to stop the kid from going out and shooting up schools. Things are really getting flaky, man. We got subway surfing and everything else, and not only that, but now nearly half of the global population is starting to show signs of smartphone addiction, according to the Lancet Commission. Rising internet addiction rates. Oh, it's now a health concern. Did you know? Artificial intelligence is turbocharging addictive apps and algorithms, and they're invading your privacy. Because, see, I told you yesterday on the show that once AI invades your phone or your computer, it's going to lay out some really addictive internet programs. And if it comes to your smartphone, this is all your kids and teens are going to see, parents. These digital technologies and societal problems are becoming increasingly intertwined, and they're creating unprecedented mental health challenges worldwide, according to the coalition of health experts writing in the Lancet Psychiatry. Yeah, reminds me of that Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, I go to the psychiatrist. I can't get no respect. I said, Doc, I got suicidal thoughts. He says, okay, from now on, pay in advance. Yeah. Yeah. He says, I'm so ugly, the psychiatrist made me lay on the couch face down. Okay. Sometimes I look at this stuff and I'm going, man, lack of safety data, really? Here's your safety data, folks. Why does your kid have a smartphone? Why do you let your child surf the internet? I can keep tabs on him that way, really? So can the pedophiles. Don't sit there and whine at me because your kid went missing because he was on social media or she was on social media and all of a sudden has become one of the statistics of all these tens of thousands of missing children in America because the parent couldn't be bothered to keep tabs on what the child was doing. Because you know the pedophile, as soon as he snatches your kid, is going to chuck the phone. It doesn't matter whether they leave the phone on or not, and they trace the phone to the last known location of the child. Child's gone. There's no phone. And the child got baited. You know, it's almost like the guy that opens up the van door and says, hey, kitty, you want some candy? Come on in. I'll show you a good time. I'll give you all the candy you want. And the gullible kid, of course, loving candy because mommy won't give it to him, all of a sudden climbs in the van and disappears forever and gets sex trafficked across the nation. I mean, folks, we are in a very dangerous society right now. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm just telling you, this is the way it is. We got all these people crossing the border, and look at all these illegal immigrants. I mean, the news media is even saying all these tens of thousands of kids have gone missing. I mean, where did they end up? In some congressman's office? Doing a little bit favor here and a little favor there? Maybe that's why they got all these Congress people blackmailed, which is why they won't do what we the people want. Maybe because they're all being blackmailed. Remember Filegate? Yeah. And she calls us deplorables. Yeah. You can see what these reprobate degenerates do with our society, right? There is a case that just came out. I just got it. See, that's how we keep up on top of what's happening here. The opinion was just issued yesterday. It involves the Republican National Committee and the North Carolina Republican Party filing two state law claims against the North Carolina State Board of Elections and its members. The claims, one statutory and one constitutional, allege that the state board failed to comply with the Help America Vote Act of 2002, which mandates certain voter registration and maintenance procedures. The DNC, of course, intervened as a defendant. The plaintiffs argued the state board's noncompliance with the Help America Vote Act of 2002 led to improper voter registrations, potentially affecting 225,000 voters. So that's huge. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina initially reviewed the case. And like all district court judges who think that they're God, they want to play God for 15 minutes. They found that the original jurisdiction over the state statutory claim, well, we have jurisdiction. Yep, we'll take that. State statutory claim, we're the U.S. District Court, but not the state constitutional claim, really. It dismissed the statutory claim, ruling the relevant statutory provision did not provide a private right of action. Oh, geez. This is almost like what they did to Jeff Thigpen when he brought that suit against MERS. Remember we had Jeff on the show? He's the Guilford County, North Carolina Register of Deeds. You don't have a private right of action, sorry. Consequently, the district court declined to exercise supplemental jurisdiction over the state constitutional claim and remanded it back to state court, also holding that Section 1443 did not provide a valid basis for removal. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit reviewed the case, holding that the district court's remand order was improper. It found the district court possessed original jurisdiction over the state constitutional claim under Section 1331 because the claim contained an embedded federal question. Now, do you understand why things get removed to federal court? Because you put some sort of federal question or federal claim, you cited a federal case, and you said that's the violation, and automatically it's federal. You understand what you just did? For those of you who don't understand the law, I'm going to teach you a little something today. Whenever you cite anything, like say that you're doing a debt collection letter against your mortgage servicer, and all of a sudden you start citing the FDCPA and you file a lawsuit against a mortgage servicer based on the FDCPA, it's automatically going to get removed to federal court. And your cost of suit just became exponentially more expensive. So the idea is, and this is research now, not legal advice, it's research. You have an almost equal state debt collection law. That is what you need to sue under. And if you sue based on diversity and you give the other side diversity and the other side is out of state and you don't sue the local attorneys coming after you, the local law firm that represents the servicer, because they're the ones lying to the judge. The attorneys are. They're officers of the court. This is one of the things we were talking about in boot camp was based on our research, how easy it is to sue attorneys, especially if you're pro se. See, nobody wants to do that. They think hiring an attorney is a good thing. Well, see, attorneys don't like suing members of their own good old boy club. So that means that when it comes to suing attorneys and state court judges, attorneys with a bar card don't want anything to do with that. Oh, my God, no, they get disbarred in a heartbeat. Oh, their case would be referred by the judge right to the bar committee for the state of whatever they're in, and they would be disbarred. How dare you sue a judge who's also a member of our state bar? You see, pro se litigants don't have that bar card hanging over their head. You get my drift? So the court also, we're talking about the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, also held that the defendants validly removed the constitutional claim pursuant to Section 1443, subparagraph 2, I know you get that, right, which allows for removal in cases involving the refusal to perform an act on the grounds that it would be inconsistent with the laws providing for equal rights. Now, you understood that, right? It allows for removal of cases involving the refusal to perform an act on the grounds that it would be inconsistent with laws, equal protection of the law. Do you understand what I just said? The court reversed the district court's remand order and remanded the case for further proceedings consistent with the opinion. So it's back in federal court again. This just case just out. RNC versus North Carolina Board of Elections. Go look it up. You can read the whole case. Hey, don't tell me I'm not giving you the good stuff here. I am. I'm trying to get the law out there. This is what the law says. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about what, Joe left his marbles on the table last night or yesterday. It's all coming back to bite him now, and the administration is backpedaling. We'll cover that and more when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, we're back at 12 before the hour here on this Hump Day edition. Well, Biden rolled some of his marbles off the table yesterday, facing criticism, of course, now for calling supporters of former President Trump garbage. See, what he was trying to do, and he got a little confused. He is on a Zoom call with Voto Latino, a nonprofit aimed at registering Latinos to vote. So he gets up there and he starts referencing Tony Hinchcliffe. Remember that comedian that inappropriately spoke about Puerto Ricans during Trump's Madison Square Garden rally? And of course, then Biden has to be more divisive, calling out this speaker, who called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. And then the president says, being the divisive person he is, even though he's calling for unity, he says, the only garbage I see floating out there is Trump supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's totally contrary to everything we've done, everything we've been. Really, Joe, speak for yourself, lame brain. Of course, now, since he made those comments, you know, the Latinos are on, wait a minute, what do you mean that we're all garbage? And so Biden now, that's all I meant to say. I mean, the comment was in reference to what he called Trump's demonization of Latinos. Trump did not demonize anybody. Why do you think Trump had, you know, a shadow Puerto Rican senator on explaining the situation? See, they really need to pay attention to the people that they have on the campaign trail that are getting up at these rallies and opening their mouths and making divisive comments or talking turkey about other races and creeds and religions. I mean, if you're going to talk about policy, fine, leave it at that. So you got to understand that Biden and Kamala don't just hate Trump. They despise the tens of millions of Americans who support him. This, according to Caroline Leavitt, Trump campaign spokesperson. See, it's all about the campaign now. You know, calling J.D. Vance says, well, all that was disgusting. Harris and her boss, Joe Biden, are attacking half the country. Well, I'm sorry. Jeez. You know, what do you think we're supposed to do about all this? You know, when you talk about our election cycle and how divisive it's become, with the U.S. election, November 5th, I mean, that's next week, folks, coming up soon to a voting precinct near you. Check newspapers for showtimes. Officials in the most competitive battleground states are bracing for misinformation, conspiracy theories, threats, and possible violence. Here we go. News media again. This time it's Reuters doing the fear-mongering. Reuters, you scumbags. In Philadelphia, Detroit, and Atlanta, they report, three of former President Trump's favorite targets for false claims of voter fraud. Officials have fortified their operations against a repeat of the chaos of 2020. Philadelphia's Ballot County warehouse is now surrounded by fence-topped barbed wire. In Detroit and Atlanta, some election offices are protected by bulletproof glass. And you don't think that America's going to read into this and going, my God, this looks like the U.S. Capitol again. Remember on January 6th, you know, they had the gates up and then allowed everybody in? I mean, it's like, why do you have bulletproof glass and razor wire, you know, whatever, barbed wire around the fences, around your little compound, you turn your election. Man, what happened to the public access here? Are they going to let poll workers in, or are they going to keep them outside the razor wire, or whatever the case may be? I mean, these people are twisted. These people, they're advocating violence. They're promoting it. It's like you tell somebody, don't go out and commit violence, and the next thing you know, what do they do? Exactly what you said, no. It's like they almost want it to happen so they can see how reactive and how stupid people are that would go out and get themselves in trouble. And this is what the Democratic Party wants people who love Donald Trump to do. They want them to overreact. They want them to go out and commit violence. Folks, if you're a peace-loving, God-fearing, right-thinking, gun-toting American, you already know what the Castle Doctrine is. You already know what the threshold rule is. We had Michael Letts on this program talking about when to use your firearm. If you have a gun and they're on your property and they're coming at you with a lit Molotov cocktail, shoot them. That is what Michael Letts said. Shoot them dead. And maybe, if you're lucky, their little Molotov will fall on them and catch fire and set them on fire and burn them up. But the thing is if they're on your property and they're going to start stuff, you know, I mean, Grady Judd even said the same thing. If they kick in your front door, shoot them. Don't shoot them in the arm or the leg. Shoot them in the head. Shoot them in the chest. Kill shots. See, until this happens mass scale and these politicians start seeing it swell up around them to where their own safety is in jeopardy, will they shut their mouths and stop this fear-mongering and stop promoting violence? But that's exactly what they're doing. Right before the election, it's all by design, folks. They want you to be freaked out. We don't have to be part of that. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Remember that. You have a gun. We're not telling you to turn the other cheek. But the thing is, you see how the media, Reuters, they're part of the mainstream media, folks. They're not to be trusted. They're basically saying that these competitive battleground states like Michigan are bracing for misinformation, conspiracy theories, threats, and possible violence. Reuters is doing this. They're looking for reasons to create news. In Wisconsin, they say election workers have been trained on de-escalation techniques and polling stations rearranged so workers have escape routes if they're menaced by protesters. Oh, can you imagine Arizona, an epicenter in 2020 for false claims by Republicans, according to Reuters? And of course, they're going to say on election night, the votes are still being counted and it may take another 13 days. You know, see, when the Democrats are controlling the polling places, you can bet the Republicans are going to be watching, because this is how the uniparty behaves, folks, because we cannot have divisiveness in this country unless one side is pointing the finger at the other side and then involving you, we the people, in their argument. You see how that works? And they use the mainstream media to get everybody's you-know-what in a bunch. I mean, substitute your own word, okay? You have freedom of thought, for now. You have freedom of speech, for now. But if the wrong people get in office and you let Jamie Raskin have another term, I mean, Raskin just proposed that three or more people getting together constitutes a militia, and we can't have that. And Biden just, you know, signed this into law that, hey, it's okay if American military shoot U.S. citizens on American soil. Do you notice the way I worded that and I said U.S. citizens? I mean, do you understand American law and governance? The organic laws of the United States consist of three foundational documents. Okay, here comes your history lesson. Organic laws. The Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution. These documents established a common law as the law of the land operating within the U.S. land jurisdiction. The common law courts function only within their specific geographic boundaries and operate under both the organic laws listed and the United States statutes at large, which is public law. That's it. All public offices are under common law. They serve of the people, for the people, and by the people. They were created and maintained by unincorporated bodies politic, free associations of landowners, and other free sovereign and independent people of the U.S. The Seventh Amendment guarantees that disputes involving private property valued over $20 have to be heard in a common law court. Is that the case today? Like Andy Looney used to say? I don't think so. The role of the county sheriff also comes to mind. Ask Richard Mack that question. He's the highest peacekeeping authority within county boundaries. Does he act like it? Does your sheriff act like it? He's responsible for enforcing the organic laws of the public law, and he's got the authority to deputize citizens and commandeer resources to maintain the peace. He's elected by landowners within the county and has to maintain a public bond and take an oath of public office. Now, as I stated before, when the United States of America became incorporated in 1871, it basically turned into a franchise of the crown, London. So when the counties and the states incorporated as franchises of the United States Incorporated, they leave the jurisdiction of the common law. They cease to function as organic government entities. They become private corporate entities similar to business franchises, and they're no longer operate under their original constitutional authority. And so why can't you sue them under the State Tort Claims Act? Oh, no, you can't sue the federal government. You can't sue the state government. You don't have a private right of action. You see, that's what they'll tell you. And before I was talking about suing attorneys and judges, well, what do you think they're all part of? They are part of the franchise. So you see, don't you understand that? Once they incorporate, folks, it's game over. We the people are on our own. That's the way it works. Oh, by the way, if you've been keeping tabs on Ford Motor, their stock has tumbled about 8%. GlaxoSmithKline said its vaccine sales are going to drop this year, but Google's Alphabet Breakout Cloud sales did better than expected because AI is growing. That should send a chill down everybody's spine. Daniel Miller from Texas, Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote, join us here on the show tomorrow. In the meantime, have yourself a blessed day. Be kind to others. And I mean, really, go out and say something nice. Engage in friendly conversation, if you would. And just remember, you have a God. He's out there. Pray to him for deliverance. And in the meantime, until tomorrow, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. You gotta save it.